the last book in the Bible and the last chapter in the Bible. Real easy place to find this morning as we go to the Word of the Lord. The last book and the last chapter of the Bible. That is Revelation chapter number 22. Revelation chapter 22. We're going to read together this morning the first 12 verses. The first 12 verses. Donovan, if you will, bring my mic up just a hair so I don't have to use what little air I've got this morning. I was up kind of late last night. That's a little too loud at the firehouse, and I'm glad that I'm able to be here, amen, with a partially sound mind and body. Praise God for His blessings. Revelation chapter 22. Now, I want to preach to you this morning for a few moments on a simple message about the promise of rewards. The promise of rewards. Now, every day, people are interested in rewards. People invest in the stock market. They invest in stocks and bonds and other things with the idea in mind and the anticipation of receiving rewards for their investments. Isn't that true? I mean, nobody likes to lose money. That's why I can't understand the concept of gambling. I mean, there are more losers than there are winners. And before I came to know the Lord and I did gamble, I always lost. And so I learned real quick that I was a loser at gambling, so I just quit it. Why? I don't like to lose my investment. Amen. God's blessed me, and I don't like to give it up and lose it. Amen. In a cheap way. And I've invested a little money in a few things, I like to see rewards added to those investments. And if we don't see that, then we're prone not to invest, aren't we? When the bull market changes to a bear market, people get reluctant to invest, and that causes the economy to creep even lower, doesn't it? That fear. Why? People don't like to lose on their investments. Well, now listen. The same truth that applies in the material world also applies in a spiritual world. The Bible teaches that if a man is wise in this life and he puts his investments in the right place, he will receive a reward. Now, you know, I don't understand the stock market. I can look at that page. They got two big full pages about it in the paper, the NASDAQ and the American Stock Exchange and all of this. I don't know anything about all that. And I look at it and I say, what in the world does all this mean? I don't know. And so you know what? If I'm going to invest, I have to trust somebody else with my money, because I don't have enough sense to handle it myself. Well, now let me tell you this. That's the same way it is with your spiritual investments. You don't have enough sense to take care of those things. So you're going to have to trust it to somebody else, aren't you? And His name is Jesus. Now, I want to tell you something. Irregardless of what happens in this world, and we know what's going to happen in this world and how it's going to end, for the man that knows God and has placed his investments in the right place wisely, it's all going to be all right. I want to tell you, God's stock market never crashes. God's never suffered a defeat. He's never suffered an economic decline or crash. The psalmist was talking about God in relation to man and his need. And God said this. He said, I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. He said, if I'm hungry, I'm not going to bother telling you about it. Amen. I want to tell you something. A wise man is a man that invests his stocks in the right place. Amen. In God's stock market. You want me to tell you why? There's the promise of reward. Reward. Let's read, if you will, the first 12 verses of Revelation 22. What a vision. And John says, He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. Now, how would you like to have a pear tree that bore pears every month? I mean, if the frost don't get my blooms, I'm lucky to get a few once a year. Well, I think we got two or three this year on a nice big old pear tree. Amen. Listen, I'd like to have one that bear every month, wouldn't you? Well, that ain't nothing to God. He's got a whole bunch of them, don't he? And there shall be no more curse, verse 3 says, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. There shall be no more night there, and they need no candle, neither the light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. He said, I've sent these preachers to tell you about it before it comes to pass. Behold, I come quickly. Now, if you have a red letter Bible, that is in red because it's the Lord himself speaking. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. When I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then he said unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. He said, worship God. We don't worship angels, amen. A lot about angels today. A lot of programs on TV about angels, amen. And thank God it's better than being about the trash that's in this world, I'll agree. But listen, we're to worship God, not angels. I'm afraid some folks are worshiping angels. You know what a real angel will tell you? Don't worship me. You worship God. So he says in just those two words, he said, worship God. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He said, it's fixing to happen. Write her down, son. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Listen, dear friend, the way you leave this world is the way you will remain forever. The pornographer will remain a pornographer forever in hell. The whoremonger will suffer his lust for eternity in the depths of hell, never having been satisfied. You better get right before you die, for after you die, neighbor, it's too late. The man Job put it this way, as a tree falleth, so shall it lie. So shall it lie. And in verse 12, he says this, and behold, once again, this is Jesus speaking, I come quickly. Now look at this. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Praise God. Listen. He said, I'm coming soon. And when I come, I'm not coming with empty pockets. Amen. When I come, I'm not coming empty-handed. But he said, I want to tell you something. I've got reward with me. And who is that reward for? It's for the one who has invested wisely in this life. Listen, if you're going to do something for God, if you're going to invest in the kingdom of God, you've got to do it in this life, saint of God. Why? Because when this life is over, we will receive reward, amen, for what we did in this life. The Bible talks about a time when there will be no more. Jesus said, man's got to work while it's day before the night comes, amen. Listen, when he comes, he's going to have a reward with him to give unto those that have invested in his kingdom during this life. A man ought to work. And a man ought to save. And the Bible says he ought to provide for his own family, or he's worse than an infidel. The Bible says if a man will not work, then it says that he ought not eat. Amen. There's nothing wrong with saving, but there's something wrong with hoarding. Amen. Our saving should be for the purpose of investing, amen, in our families, amen, and in our futures. And we ought to take time to invest in God's kingdom, amen. We ought to put some things into it. Why? Because there is a reward. Man, I tell you what, we work all of our lives and we put back and we put into retirement programs and other funds because we want to make sure that the day comes when our bodies break down or they slow down and we can't work anymore, that we'll have some way to survive and some way to live. Listen, neighbor, it's the same way with spiritual things. I want to tell you one of the worst things that can possibly happen for a man that goes to heaven is to come before God and him not have any type of reward for what he did in this life, because he focused on self and he focused on material and he ignored what he should have concentrated on and invested in this life, and that is the things of God. I want you to know, brother and sister, your labor's not in vain, the Bible says. You don't do anything for God that God does not notice. As far as that goes, you don't do anything God doesn't notice, amen. And whatever you do for God, amen, God takes note of it. Whatever you do for others, God takes note of it, amen. And when he comes back, I want you to understand, God's going to have a reward for those that have invested in his kingdom, amen. 4 points to the message. I won't finish this morning. I'll finish tonight, but here they are. First of all, there's a reward for those who seek him. Secondly, there's a reward for those who serve him. Amen. Thirdly, there's a reward for those who suffer for him. And fourthly, there's a reward for those who stay with him. You ought to stick with Jesus. Point number one we'll cover this morning. There is a reward for those who seek him. A verse that we quote quite often in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse number 6. It is impossible to please God without what? Without faith. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek God. So, neighbor, you say, well, I have faith. Well, there's two things you've got to believe. Number one, that God is, that he does exist. Amen. Number two, you've got to believe that God rewards. Amen. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek God. Him, praise God. The psalmist said this. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. What's he doing? He's worshiping God. And then he says this, and forget not his benefits. I want to tell you, there's benefits to serving God. People think Christians today are weak, yellow-spined cowards today who hide behind the skirts of their wives and mom. Amen. I want to tell you the exact opposite is the truth. If a man's a man of God and he's been saved by God and he's seeking God and he's serving God, I want to tell you something. You found a man that's got bravery above this world's God. Amen. That's what Hebrews chapter 11 is all about. Amen. There were some people when the world forgot God who had a heart to seek God. Amen. And lay a hold of God. I want you to know the Bible tells us there in Hebrews 11:6 that there is a reward for those who look for God. Listen, we're living in a world today not looking for God. You know what Revelation 22 is all about, what we're reading here? He says, listen, he said, I'm coming quickly. I'm coming quickly. The Bible says, unto those that look for him, amen, he'll appear. And he won't appear empty. He'll have his reward in his hand, praise God. Listen, this world's not looking for God. They're looking for solutions in the economy. They're looking for solutions in the military. They're looking for solutions in everything in the world. But they're not looking for God. And I want to tell you, he is the only and the ultimate solution, amen, to our needs as a nation. Brother, I want you to know our forefathers believed that with all their heart. They believed it enough that neighbor, 9 years after King James had the Bible translated, amen, they had to hop a boat just to get away from him. They came to this land, neighbor, to establish a land for the glory of God in the Mayflower Compact. They were a people that understood that investments of this life are better put in God's stock market. They're better invested in him than they are in the things of this world. Neighbor, they paid a heavy price for it. What were they doing? They were seeking a place that they could serve God where the state didn't interfere in their business. Amen. I want to tell you one of the things I'm thankful for this morning. That we can meet here, and the police ain't out here, and the military ain't out here. Nobody's out here when you leave to knock you in the head, put handcuffs on you, or carry you off to prison. Amen. I thank God for that. Not everywhere is it that way. I want to tell you something. It's not always been that way for people who know God. Huh? And nowhere in our Constitution will you find the expressions or in the Bill of Rights, separation of church and state. That's man's word. It's not in there, neighbor. It is not. You hear it all the time. Listen, man and our people are not looking for God anymore. God has blessed and rewarded this nation for its godliness, for its righteousness, for its leadership, for its charity in the world, for its missionary message. Amen. And whenever all that changes, you can believe one thing, God's attitude will change toward us as a nation. Amen. Why? Neighbor, I want to tell you, God rewards those who seek Him, who look for Him. Now, where's man looking for God today? Well, the natural place for man to look for God is where? In religion. Isn't that right? In religion. Listen, neighbor, religion can't do you any good. A man says, well, you know, I think I'm going to go look for God. Well, where are you going to look? I'm going to look in religion. Well, which religion are you going to look into? I mean, there are umpteen dozen, if not hundreds, of different religions in the world. Man, see, yeah, well, you say, well, I believe all religions need to God. No, it don't. Huh? You believe that a man can join the church of Satan out in California and seek God? They don't believe in no God. Don't really believe in the devil. They're worse hypocrites than any Christian I've ever known. That's right. Amen. Listen, neighbor. Man looks for God in religion. But sad to say, most religions are man-made religions, aren't they? Amen. Huh? Listen. You can't find God in religion. I went to visit somebody in the hospital one time. And his words were this. He said, I need to get religious. I said, no, you don't. I said, what you need is to know Jesus. I said, if you know Jesus, that'll get your religion straightened out. Amen. Now, the Bible talks about religion. It says pure religion, undefiled before God, is to take care of the orphans and the widows. Amen. That's right. And so if a man is a child of God and he's going to have religion before God, it involves those things. Listen, you don't find God in religion because the world has been steeped in idolatry and heathenism. Amen. Ever since man got cast outside the garden, you don't find God in religion. You find it in Jesus. Amen. Not only that, he looks for God in reasoning. Huh? He looks for God in his education. He looks, neighbor, around and he finds a fossil in the ground. And he tries to date that fossil, primarily through carbon dating, because that will give you the oldest age. There are many different ways to date things. And carbon dating gives them the oldest date of anything compared to other ways. And they have to stretch it back for the theory of evolution to even become comprehensible to a dummy. Huh? Man looks at stuff and he reasons looking for God. You can't educate a man about God to know God. Amen. He either knows him or he doesn't know him. Isn't that right? And today we've tried to educate man in religious things and theologies. And you know what it's done? All it's done is take man away from God. Now, I'm ignorant, but I went to school. I did. You know what I found? I found a lot of them professors that was teaching me that they didn't believe the same Bible I believe. And rather than saying that God parted the Red Sea and those individuals marched through and it was a miraculous demonstration of the power and deliverance of God, they tried to reason about the east wind that came. Huh? They'll try to reason about how it is that that a whale can swallow a man and him still be living after 3 days. And you know what man does? Man takes all of his rationale and his reasoning and his education to try to explain God and say, here he is. You can't do it. You can't do it. It just doesn't work that way. And sad to say, today we're educating people away from God and trusting him rather than toward God. Did you know that every major university, Harvard, Yale, that was established in this nation in its early days was established as seminaries to teach men and women how to read, that they might understand the Word of God and communicate the Word of God, and those are nothing but harbors for infidels today. What are you saying? You can't find God through reasoning. You can't find him through religion. So if you're going to seek God, you can't look for him there. And not only that, but man seeks God through today reflection. James said this. He said, what kind of man goes and looks in the mirror and sees himself and turns away and forgets what he saw? Here's what I mean by reflection. Man today looks in the mirror, he sees himself, and today he sees God. There's a New Age theology and philosophy that says we are all gods and that there's a little bit of God in every one of us. I'm going to tell you what that is. That's Oprah Winfrey theology. Yeah. And I want to tell you, that woman lead everybody to think she knows something about God. She knows absolutely nothing about the God of this Bible. She does know something about the Spirit dwelling in her, but I worry about that, amen. What am I saying? Neighbor, I want to tell you something. The Bible tells us very plainly that man is lost and he's without God. And there's only one way to get back to God, amen. Amen. Oh, well, we are all God. We all have a little bit of God in us. It's like that black and white thing. What is it called, young'uns? It has a little thing this way that there's a little evil in the good and a little good in all the evil. You ever see that? I forget what it's called, some oriental symbol thing. Huh? Yeah, the yin and the yang. That sounds about right, don't it? Neighbor, it just ain't so. Man can't find God in religion. Man can't find God in reasoning. Man can't find God in his reflection, because his reflection reflects more of the devil today than it does of God. And all you got to do is look at society today and the fix that we're in and realize that man today is not seeking for God, and man that is seeking for God because he does have a spiritual side is looking in the wrong places. God said, man that looks after me, he said, diligently seeks me, he said, I will reward him. Well, I won't tell you where a man finds God. There are three places that I find here that a man can find God. First of all, according to Romans chapter 1, he can find God in creation. Huh? The Bible in Romans 1 says that man looked up and he saw the creation that God had made, and just by simply looking at the mathematical symmetry and the coordination of everything that operates, man knows there's a God. The Bible in the book of Psalms says, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament his handiwork. Huh? Neighbor, the Bible teaches that man knows there's a God just simply by looking at what God created. Now, I'll tell you what else Romans 1 says. Romans 1 says that when man looked around and saw God's creation, he began to worship God's creation rather than God. That's what it says. He began to worship natural things, animals, four-footed beasts, and things like that. Now, neighbor, listen, we're kind of getting that way today. We've got a certain group we call tree huggers, laughingly. Now, I'm not saying you ought not take care of the environment and ecology, and you ought to, but you ought not worship it above God. And that's what they did, amen. And so we don't need to get off in pantheism and worshiping nature, amen, and worshiping God's creation. But no man with an honest mind can look out here and say, listen, this all just came because of a big explosion. That's fool. You know, I've got to say, and there's been a lot of debate and a lot of yakking about John Glenn going back into space. Don't know the man personally, don't know a whole lot about him, but I do appreciate some of the things that he said when he went up there. Huh? He said, you can't get up here and look out and not see God. He said, you'll never see nothing like this blue world that we dwell on. What's he saying? You get up here and look at that, oh atheist, you're going to see God. Amen. So guess what? Man seek God, he can see him in creation. Man can find God in creation. Man can find God in revelation. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, he said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. I want to tell you something. You can see God out here in this creation. You can see God in his revelation. You're going to find God. You're going to have to look where he is and where he's revealed. Amen. This word of God reveals that there's a God in heaven. This Bible wasn't written last week. This Bible wasn't written in a six-month or six-year period of time. It was written over thousands of years by multiple authors, all inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, and that's why it synchronized and harmonizes perfectly. It is the Word of God. You can find God in creation, in revelation. And then finally we can find God in incarnation. The Bible in John chapter 1 verse 14 said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. To know what that word is, you just read the previous verses, and it talks about Jesus in his pre-incarnate state before the foundation of the world. That individual who was the Creator condescended, according to Philippians 2 and 3, to become like a servant, take upon him the form of a man, and neighbor, to reveal God to this world. Amen. And so before he left that night, before the crucifixion, that upper room, he said, I'm going away, But let not your hearts be troubled. He said, where I'm going, I'm going to come back and get you and bring you with me. And he said, where I go, you know, and the way you know. Philip said, wait a minute now. I, for one, I'm not sure where you're going, and I don't know how to get there. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Listen. Paul, writing Timothy, said, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. Listen, Islam says that Jesus was a prophet, but he was not the Son of God, that he was not God in flesh. Neighbor, they're wrong. They're wrong. According to this Bible, he not only was the Son of God, he was God manifest in the flesh. Amen. And the man that saw the Lord Jesus, he saw God. Amen. He said, show us the Father, Philip did, and it sufficeth us. He said, I have not been with you this long, and you don't understand yet that he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Neighbor, there's three places you can find God: in creation. You can find him in revelation. You can find him in the incarnation. Amen. And Paul, John said this. This is the spirit of Antichrist that says that Jesus Christ was not manifest in the flesh. That's what he said. Praise God. He was the Son of God. So the Bible tells us that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, where are you looking for God? Where are you looking for God? How does he reward us? First of all, he will reward us with real life. John chapter 10, verse 28, he says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now listen, Jesus said to that woman at the well, you drink of this water, you're going to get thirsty again. In other words, it has no ability to sustain life unless you come back to it over and over and over again, and ultimately it will fail you of its life-giving ability. Isn't that right? If water out of the tap could keep you alive, none of us would ever get older, and none of us would ever die, but we do every day. He said, but listen, there's a water that's able to impart to the one that drinks it an eternal life that he'll never, ever have to partake of it again. He'll be absolutely satisfied because he will finally come across what is real water. Amen. We saw about here in Revelation 22 where he said he saw a pure river of the water of life. Amen. Flowing out from the base of that throne. Amen. I want you to understand this morning, neighbor, that whenever God saves a man, whenever God seeks a man, that God takes that individual and he gives to that man real life. You see, today, man thinks that life consists of the abundance of the things that he has. Boy, if I've got a nice house, a nice car, if I've got the TV, the VCR, and all these wonderful possessions, then my life will be happy and it'll be wonderful. Isn't that true? We think that real life consists in things. But listen, neighbor, if that's what your life consists of when those things are gone, neighbor, you won't have life anymore. Jesus taught that. Ain't nothing wrong with having all of these things as long as, neighbor, you recognize who God is. Amen. And you seek him. And he'll get all those things in order. A man committed suicide in Florida last year, I read an article about. He left a note and said this, I have everything to live with, but I have nothing to live for. What a tragedy. Had everything he needed to sustain his life and what should have made him happy. But he said, I hadn't found happiness. I don't have any reason to live, nothing to live for. Howard Hughes, a man that had more money, more opportunity, more material things than any of us could ever possibly hope to have, died a miserable, insane wretch. Let me tell you why. He never found real life. If he did, we don't know nothing about it. If he did, I thought it would have made a change in him. I want to tell you what Jesus gives. He doesn't give phony life. He gives real life. Amen. When a man finds Jesus, he finds that his life doesn't dwell in a whiskey bottle anymore. He don't have to have it. It doesn't dwell in narcotics and drugs to numb his mind to tolerate this world anymore. Why? Because now he has real life. He finds out that real life doesn't consist of having all the women in this life that you can have, or all the men in this life that you can have, and sexual fulfillment. That's not the kind of life he gives. He gives real life. It's called eternal life. It has a quantity about it. It never ends. And it has a quality about it. Amen. That's wonderful. That is satisfying. Some of the most miserable people you'll ever meet are people who are Christians that have failed to realize what the Lord Jesus has given them. Eternal life means that you have received joy and peace and victory from the Lord that saved you. Amen. When the materials are gone, you can still have joy and peace and victory. When the money's gone, you can still have joy and peace and victory. Praise God. Why? Because that's what He gives. I want to tell you something. If I could open these doors and say, if you're sick, you come in here, I'll lay my hands on you and I'll heal you. If I could do that to everybody who comes in the door, we'd have a line stretching to Highway 49 from this place with people coming in. If I could get them to come in here and believe that, neighbor, they'll put their money in this church, that God will make them rich and reward them, neighbor, I'd have a line stretch out to Highway 49 about that, wouldn't I? His kingdom doesn't operate that way. Yes, God heals. Yes, God rewards in financial ways. But neighbor, that's not what we're about. We're about life. What am I saying? People would come here for healing. People would come here for money. Because that's what their life consists of. Huh? You know that you can have a cancerous body and have life. That's a contradiction in this world. You can have a weak body and have life. Praise God. Why? He gives real life. And when this old body drops to the ground, it doesn't affect my life. He's got another body. Perfect, incorruptible, ready to give me. Praise God. Listen. The reward that He gives us is real life. The reason many Christians are still clutching hold of this world and can't get committed and dedicated to God is because they haven't realized the real life that God's given them whenever He saved them. Amen. What do you think will make a man sell his house and all that he has that he might go overseas into places of poverty and neglect to preach the gospel? What would make him do that? He's finally come to understand what real life is all about. Now, you ain't got to do that if God hadn't called you to do it. He ain't called me to do that. The point I'm making is nobody could do it if they didn't realize that, could they? Amen. He rewards us with real life when we seek Him. He rewards us with the requirements of life when we seek Him. Matthew 6:33, He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now you read the previous verses and here's what He's talking about. He's talking about food. He's talking about clothing and the necessities of life. Man seek God. God will reward him with real life. He'll reward him with the requirements of life. Listen to what David said. He said, I've been young and now I'm old. He said, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You know what that man needs out there on the corner that has a sign that says, we'll work for food? He's not going to work for food. I know you feel guilty for passing them by. I can give you any number of names, tell you where they can go get something to eat. It's not food that they want, bless their hearts. I'm going to tell you what they need. They need Jesus. They need to know the Lord. Amen? They need to know the Lord. And He said, I'll give them the requirements of life. Listen, neighbor, I want to tell you, when the stock market crashes and everything's gone, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. Why? He promises that. Now, I want you to understand two things. First of all, I want you to see the condition for this promise, this reward. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now, sad to say, here's human nature. Yeah, preacher, I want God. And I want to seek God. But God doesn't come first. And His kingdom doesn't come second. But if we're doing good, He may come third. Or He may come fourth. You see, there's a condition to that. Now, what's going to make a man put God first? What's going to make a man first of all give to God? What's going to make a man first of all give his time to God? To be faithful to God and to serve God in the church. One thing, faith. He believed what God has said. And God said, if you'll seek me first, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, I'll add these things to you. Well, I've got a problem believing. If he really believes that, he'll put God first. Listen, people, God's never second in anything. People think today for some reason God's running a close second behind the devil. He's not running second. He's way out in front. He's number one. From Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation 22, I want to tell you, He is number one. Matter of fact, if you read verse number 13 there, He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. You know what that means? He means I'm first and I'm last. And everything in between, I'll take care of. It's in my control. Praise God! He'll reward us when we seek Him. with the requirements of life, with real life. And then on top of that, he'll reward us with the requests of life. Matthew chapter 7, listen to what he said. Ask, and ye shall receive. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. James said in James chapter 3, he said, chapter 4, you have not because you ask not. Let me tell you why a lot of our prayers are not answered. We're not asking. We're not asking. Huh? We need to ask God. Boy, you know, part of my joy is sitting in the services and hearing people say, pray for this one, pray for that one, pray about this. You know what we're doing? We're asking. I want to tell you, we've received, hadn't we? Well, amen. We're richly blessed and thank God for it. And that's why we keep asking. There's nothing wrong with asking. You know what to keep you from asking? Pride. Self-sufficiency. Saying, I don't need God. I don't care how much money you got or how good your health is. You better understand something. You need God. You need God. Amen. He'll give you the request of life. And then he said this after that. He said, which of you, if your son is hungry, he asks you for bread, you'll give him a stone, or a fish. You give him an egg, you give him a scorpion. He said, which one of you will do that? You won't do that. Why? Because you love your son. He said, how much more will your heavenly Father give unto you all these things that you have need of? Listen. Listen. He's coming again. He's a rewarder of those that seek him. If you're looking for God today, I want to tell you where to find him. Right here. Huh? And when we seek him, he'll reward us with real life. Life that never ends. Life everlasting. He'll reward us with the requirements of life. Whatever we need, sufficient for the day. And he'll reward us with a request of life. God will add on top of that. You want something? Talk to God about it. Now God will give you three answers. He'll either say okay, and he'll give it to you. Or he'll say wait, the time is not good for this right now. Or he'll say no, this would not be good for you at this time. But God answers every prayer. He does. Problem is we're just not listening right, amen. Man talk to God. God will talk to man. Whenever that happens, neighbor, they become one. That man's going to seek God. That man's going to serve God. Amen. Listen, folks. I get frustrated, aggravated, every kind of aided you can think of. But I'm not doing this for nothing. And I'm not doing it for earthly reward. I want to tell you, there's nothing you do for God that you're not investing in his kingdom. And one of these days, payday's coming. The reward's coming. We're going to reap the reward for the investments we've made in this life. What have you invested in the kingdom of God? What have you invested in the kingdom of God? Well, preacher, I don't have a lot. Let me tell you, the first thing you should invest in the kingdom of God, it's yourself. It's yourself. It's yourself. Have you given yourself to the Lord? You need to do that today. God loves you. God's out to do you right and to do you good and not do you wrong. Now, I simply ask you this. Can we trust him this morning? Can we trust him this morning? Sure we can. He's worth seeking. Won't you do that? Our Father, thank you for the word of the Lord, for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters here in this place today. Our Father, will you reward our efforts here with our Father speaking to our hearts, showing us, God, where we perhaps are making bad investments. Maybe where we're making no investments. Maybe our Father, we just need to give of ourselves. Maybe we've given